At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Do these guys have any idea what they're doing? Probably not. But that won't stop them from making picks. This is BZ Money.
It is time for the Killer Bees to give you winning tickets. It's what we do. It's what we do. We were 2-2 last week. We lost $20. We're 5-4 on the year, though, and we're up $5. We are winning. We're in the black. We're winners. So if you want to win, tell the Killer Bees. Brian, by the way, 3-1, first place in the Killer Bees. Whenever he's making his picks, me, right smack dab in the middle with a clown to the left of me and Joker to the right, I'm 2-2. And in dead last, Cellar Dweller, Blank Man, at 1-2-1.
All thanks, right. Brian. Appreciate it.
All right, bro. So we'll go last place first.
Oh, here we go. Let's just keep milking that cow.
Accountability, Joel. Accountability.
Yeah, I see you putting it right at the front and center.
All right, what is your first game you're selling to us, Blankers?
I'm selling to you the Chiefs at the Falcons. I just believe as much as the Falcons squeaked one out because Philadelphia made a whole bunch of boneheaded decisions late in the game, I just feel like this is going to be another one of those times where Pat Mahomes in Kansas City let everybody know they ain't going anywhere. Everybody's wondering, what are they going to do without Pacheco? I think they're going to be just fine. I think this is a game where Atlanta's maybe not as good as a lot of people are thinking they are because they beat Philly, and I think the Chiefs are going to make a statement. It's only a three-point game. That's what you normally see when you're a team on the road. I think the Chiefs are better than that, and I like them in the game.
Yeah. This was a no play for me. If I had to bet one side of it, I would bet the Kansas City side of it. It feels like a small number. It feels very trappy to me. Kansas City kind of sleepwalks through the regular season in a way. Like, they don't put teams away like we think that they should be putting teams away. Kelsey's had a bad start to his year. I would be on the Kansas City side if I was forced to play it. This was one of my my no plays, though.
Yeah, same. I would like this better if it's 2.5 because I think the Chiefs win by a field goal, so I think this number's pretty good. But when you look at it, I mean, they tell you classically home field's worth 3 points and it's the 3-point game. So, I mean, that would tell you neutral site these two teams are even. I don't really buy this. I would bet the Kansas City side, but I'd like to keep it small.
Yeah, let's go with a small bet here.
Fine. What do you want to do? $20? 20.
That sounds good. Sounds good to me. All right, first game that I'm going to sell to you guys as a 2-2. I had like 4 games that I wanted to play this week. It was hard for me to decide between the ones that I ultimately decided on, which kind of worries me. But the first game that I want to sell to you, I'm tired of Denver. Tampa Bay's at home for Denver. It's a big number, 6.5 points, but it's not big enough. Tampa Bay, underrated, rolling. Denver, Bo Nix can't even get a playoff to his huddle. The Broncos, not a good football team with a rookie quarterback. They might figure it out a little bit towards the middle of the year. But Tampa Bay, underrated. Denver, no good. Should be a bigger number. Tampa Bay giving 6.5 points. Give me the Bucks.
Yeah, I'm with you on this one. I don't know that I'm with you with a big dollar figure, but I feel like Tampa Bay is more for real than I thought they were. And I think Bo Nix and whatever Sean Payton thinks he's going to do with the guy he finally got to play quarterback, and when that happens, but it ain't going to be anytime soon. And what I've seen so far of him has not been impressive. At Tampa Bay, I would expect him to win by a touchdown.
Yeah, I like the Tampa Bay side of it as well. It worries me a little bit with Denver's defense, especially Surtain. I mean, if he takes away Mike Evans, I mean, what does that do to the Tampa Bay offense? But I'm willing to go ahead and give the 6.5 points here. I'd like to keep the bet small, though.
Softies. Yeah, y'all both said how little wanted to keep the bet.
That cost us last week.
Soft. What are y'all thinking? 30? 35?
I'm with 30.
75?
No. You were right. I think first 30. Time with 30.
All right, $30. Though.
All right.
Brian, what's the first game you're selling us?
My first bet is on a game which I think the bet I like to place most on this game is the under because I think the defenses are going to rule the day. But you got the Chargers going to the East Coast for the second week in a row. I know they stayed over in Charlotte, but that is a lot of that's a long time away from home. So
it's not the second weekend in a row.
They played in Carolina last week. Though.
Yeah, I know. But staying there, to me, is not two trips.
I didn't say it was two trips. I said it's a long time on the East Coast away from home.
Lakers?
Might have to go to the table.
Yeah,
on that one, Brian.
I think you said back-to-back weeks.
I said back-to-back weeks that they're on the road. I didn't say they were traveling 2 weeks in a row.
Okay.
Anyway, we're getting completely away from the point. Point is, Pittsburgh, great defense. Justin Herbert, not very mobile with the high ankle sprain, and I don't trust that offense overall against competent defenses. We know they played, I mean, last week they faced Carolina, terrible defense, so of course they ran it all over them. I don't think they're going to be able to do it here. I think they get exposed for not having offensive weapons at wide receiver. I think Pittsburgh covers the 1.5.
This is one I don't – Herbert's ankle is in question, but I still think that that Pittsburgh quarterback situation, even with Justin Fields playing decent the first 2 weeks, is not something that I like. I would stay away from this game, but if I leaned one way or the other, I believe that the Chargers have more talent.
Yeah, I hate this game. I hate these teams, quite frankly. If I had to play, it was no play for me. If I had to play it, I would be on the Steelers' side.
Can we play the under?
No, we usually don't do that, though.
All right.
We're very simple.
Okay, that's fine. I would take the Pittsburgh side.
The Herbert injury, I'm not sure he's going to play. They listed him as questionable today. I mean, I'm sure he'll give it a run, but how effective will he be?
Especially facing TJ Watt.
It's week three. Like, would it shock you if we get to game time and Justin Herbert doesn't play? Would it shock me?
If he doesn't play, the backup is Easton Stick.
Yeah.
Which is
why I'm surprised it's still on the board. But if I had to play it, I would bet the Steelers side. Don't love the play, but I'd be okay with a little bit. Two against one.
25?
Well, I don't think we can go 25. We were all on the Kansas City side, and it's 2 of 1. I feel like it should be less than 20.
That's fine. If you guys are willing to do less than 20, I'm fine with that.
I'm out. I'll go 20.
Less than 20 feels really soft. We'll go $20 on that one. Blank man.
Second one for me. I've got a Washington team that still has a rookie quarterback. They're going on the road. Cincinnati looked for a majority of the game like they were the better team against Kansas City. They know that they've got work to do to get back in this thing and kind of resurrect the people that want to believe Ja'Marr Chase, that they're the team to beat in the AFC. I think at home, I hate the number. If it was 6.5, it would be a bigger dollar figure for me. But I still think Cincinnati beats Washington by more than a touchdown.
Yeah, I hate the 7 number of it as well. I didn't play it because of the 7 number, but if I was gun to my head, had to play it, I would take Cincinnati.
I would stay away from it because of the 7 number. I just don't like the full touchdown. Cincinnati, we kind of seen them play down to the competition times. They played up against Kansas City last week because they like to play Kansas City, thinking they own Arrowhead Stadium. I'm not convinced they get up for this game as much.
Well, my record sucks, and you guys are going against me, so you don't have to bet it.
I feel like we should go minimum, though. Because we're degenerates.
It was 2 to 1, actually. Yeah, you guys are against Cincinnati. I was the only one against.
Yeah, I feel like we should bet 20 on it.
Well, then you want to do the same minimum?
I know, you can tell we should play 20.
We should play league minimum. I like to play a bunch of games. I degenerate.
So we're doing 20 on Cincy?
20. Give me 20. All right, I'm going to go up to Seattle. I'm going to go up to the great Northwest where the Seahawks are playing Skylar Thompson. Talk about travel. Miami has to go all the way from this corner of the map all the way up to this corner of the map. That's tough. That's hard to do.
It's gotta be the furthest travel in the NFL.
Has to be the furthest travel in the NFL. Well Seattle, played, good. Miami, Skylar Thompson's the quarterback. Seattle's giving only 4.5 points. I think Seattle wins this game by double digits and ends the career of Skylar Thompson. This will be his last and only start. He might have had previous starts, but this will be his last one.
I think Seattle's defense is really good. You know, you guys know I don't believe in Geno.
Geno's been good.
He's been decent, yeah. But at the same time,
won a few 300-yard passers this season.
I don't like that number that high at 4.5. If this was 3.5, I could see it. I don't like the number, but I believe Seattle wins the football game, so it's up to you guys in terms of...
You're putting it on me?
Yeah.
I mean, Seattle's just... I mean, they barely beat Denver. They had to go to overtime against New England. I just don't see them as a team that covers numbers like this.
Skylar Thompson!
I know. But, I mean, they were facing Jacoby Brissett and Bo Nix in those two earlier games and couldn't put those teams
away. They still have weapons.
I would stay away from this game. That's my lean.
Okay. That's 20 my bucks, lean. Sounds like?
Yeah.
Sounds like another 20 burger?
If you're the only one?
I thought he said yes.
No, Joel said he'd leave it up to us.
Yeah, I left it up to you, but I said if I was going to pick a winner, I'd lean on the Seattle side.
Okay, well then
$20.
Okay, $20.
$20. right. What's your last one, Brian?
My last one, going to the Texans division, Jacksonville's the dumpster fire. They got to go to Buffalo. Not the longest trip in the NFL, but you're going from Florida up to the northeast there. It's a pretty far travel. Buffalo, a lot better team than I thought they'd be. Jacksonville's been awful. I think Buffalo crushes this one and wins by way more than five.
Look, Buffalo's been extremely impressive to me, and Jacksonville has not. And again, I think that I expect the Bills to win by a touchdown. I don't know that they're going to win by much more than that. But if I'm going to go on either side of this, I would definitely take the Bills on this side of it, because I think that Jacksonville looks more like pretenders, and I'm surprised to say that Buffalo looks more like a contender than I thought.
Surprised?
Yeah, I didn't think Buffalo, with all that they've lost, both offensively and defensively, with the veteran players that are gone, I didn't think they were going to be this good.
Trying to help you.
That's because you love their quarterback.
7527, not the furthest travel they play in London, guys. Come on.
That's a good point.
For a home game. For a home
Continental game. United States, come on.
Domestically. I think Buffalo wins this game by double figures. I think they roll. I think they win by 11. That's what Branham Analytics say.
Big number here?
I like Branalytics.
I like Buffalo.
So we're going big number here? Seems like we're all pretty high on this game.
I say somewhere in the 35 to 50 range.
Let's go 50.
Let's do it.
All right.
$50.
$50.
The one game. I don't know how you guys felt about this, but one of the games that I was really contemplating was San Francisco at the Rams. The Rams' offensive line's depleted. They lost Puka. They lost Kupp. I don't know that their running game is great because of that offensive line, but I think San Francisco is really...
I just worry about San Francisco because Debo, no Kittle, no Christian McCaffrey. I don't want to bet on them right now.
That's why I didn't put it in there, but I was just curious your guys' thoughts.
I would agree with you if fully healthy. It's just that three of their four best players are out.
Yeah, that's no chance I'm playing that game with all the injuries in that game. The other games that I had on here that I really liked, I like Arizona plus three at home. I think there's a really good chance they win that game outright. Well. I like Baltimore to win outright at Dallas.
Oh, I like that game, too. I like Baltimore. I'm a little – I don't know about Arizona yet. I know Brian was the first one to really get on Arizona, but I think Detroit – is going to come back, bounce off that loss to Tampa Bay, and try to make a statement.
I also like Philly on the road at New Orleans.
I do,
bounce
too.
Bounce back
I thought
win.
About that
New
game
Orleans
as well.
A little bit inflated. Like, the Saints are 2.5-point favorites against Philly.
I like that one, too.
I don't think they're better. I don't think they're better than Philly.
I think Philly's a better football team, and I think this is where it kind of starts coming to reality for the Saints.
Yeah. I think you're right. You might be onto something. There might be a lot of points in that one. I didn't play the over on that
one. Yeah, I think I like the overs and unders this week better than the Lions. Like, New Orleans-Philly, to me, is an easy under. I like the under – or easy over, that is.
Which one?
Philly-New Orleans is an easy over. Then I like the unders in the Giants and Cleveland. I think that's got a pretty good line.
You say the under in that?
Under, yeah.
I have the under in that.
And then under in Chicago and Indy. I like that one, too.
Yeah,
that one as well.
Yep, sure.
That one, too. I lost the over-under last night, though. I played the under. I played the over, rather.
I'm about to say, it was only 27 to...
The over, I think it was like 34.5, something like that. I felt like the Patriots' offense had been playing actually kind of well. I thought they were going to score a little bit, but they didn't score enough.
Now, Ramondre was terrible.
I played seven totals this week. That was the only over that I played. The other six games that I played, all unders. All
the
unders.
Trend of the NFL right now.
All right, so we got Pittsburgh $20 minus 1.5, Tampa $30 minus 6.5, Seattle $20 minus 4.5, Kansas City 20 doll hairs for minus 3 points, Buffalo 50 doll hairs giving up 5, and the Bengals 20 doll hairs giving the 7 points. Speaking of that game yesterday, what did we learn from Patriots and Jets? I learned a couple of things. I'll tell you on the other side. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Live in the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees. Now back to Joel and Jeremy.
Let's give away some tickets. Houston and Iowa State, a week from tomorrow, a Big 12 tilt. Houston taking on the Cyclones of Iowa State, September 28th, Saturday, TDECU Stadium. Family weekend, Hispanic heritage game, a night of thrilling plays, hard-hitting action, unforgettable moments. Family night special, family entertainment for $80, four tickets. Four hot dogs, four drinks, all for $80. Get a game, you get hot dogs, you get drinks for $80. Go to uhcougars.com/tickets. Call 713-GO-COUGS to get your tickets now. Come early, be loud, wear red. Giving away a pair of tickets right now to the first person who answers a trivia question correctly. First person to answer this question correctly. Which Houston Cougar caught a touchdown pass in the 33-7 win over Rice last Saturday. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Which Houston Cougar caught a touchdown against the Rice Owls in the Bayou Bucket this past week? First person to answer that, a pair of tickets coming your way to watch Houston and Iowa State a week from tomorrow. All right, what'd you learn from this Patriots-Jets game that took place last night in New Jersey? New Jersey is where it happened.
I think the first thing that I've learned is Aaron Rodgers is still going to Aaron Rodgers. He's still going to be moody from time to time. He's still going to do his things, but he can still play a little bit of football, too. And some of the passes that he made, including that touchdown pass in the corner that I have seen for too long to realize not many guys can make that throw. If Aaron Rodgers can do those kind of things consistently, as much as I was worried about my own pick of the Jets winning that division or being as good as I thought they were going to be, when he plays like that, they have a chance to win every week, and I think the Jets have a. I think the Jets are going to be okay.
When was he moody?
Oh my God, Jeremy! Don't get me. There were times on the sideline when they showed him on the sideline. You can see in some of the interactions with the players. I know people are making a big deal of the thing with Saleh. I actually believe them. I believe, but that's one of the things where he locks into his brain things that people say and never forgets them. And Saleh had been very, very much stressing about how he felt about two score games and. They're acting and reacting to the hug versus whatever the awkwardness of it was. But you can read Rodgers' lips, and he says two-score game to where he's doing what his head coach was talking about.
Yeah, I didn't see any moodiness from Rodgers in that game yesterday. And I saw a lot of people trying to make a big deal of the non-hug. Saleh went in for the hug. Rodgers is like, no bro hug for us. Florio's over here. You know, he's trying to stir it up on Twitter. You had WFAN. They had one of their hosts. I don't think he really respects him, Rodgers to Saleh. Did you see the stare at the end? Like, people were making this huge deal where, like, Rodgers doesn't respect Robert Saleh. Like you said, you could read his lips. Yep. He's like, two-score game. I don't think there's anything to that. I think Rodgers just kind of has that personality. I think he's kind of like, hey, he's got a sense of humor. I think he's actually kind of funny. And it's like, two-score game, man. Two-score game. This is what you've been stressing all week. Two-score game. I didn't make much of that. No, I didn't see drama either.
He delivers those a lot of times with the straight face, too. He's not going to chuckle and he's not going to, like, loosen up. He's going to play the bit and play it out. And so that's what he was doing. I don't think it was there. I think there was, if you watch the game throughout the sidelines and some of the interactions, even with Hackett and the coaching staff, but it's because he knows the game very well. And he knew exactly, what they was talking about it before the game, how, everything that Garrett Wilson saw so far this season was going to be blanketed and it was going to be tough to get him the ball. Well, he spread the ball around, but boy, that throw that he made to Wilson in the corner of the end zone in the front corner shows you that not a lot of guys can get that ball in that place and also not get it picked. And that was impressive.
Yeah. I thought the one to Mike Williams should have been caught, too. That was a good throw. Mm-hmm. Williams had it in his hands, kind of got broken up there a little bit. Alex says media needs stuff to talk about. What I learned in this game was that Aaron Rodgers is tatted up. I didn't know Aaron Rodgers was tatted up. Aaron Rodgers got tatted up. Maybe he got it during his little, holistic retreat or whatever they call it. Maybe that's when he got tatted up. I had no idea Aaron Rodgers was tatted up, and now I do. I also learned that the Jets aren't a bad football team. I don't know if they're good. I don't know how good they can be. I just know they're not bad. Like, I know the Patriots are bad, and the Jets, they had their way with them. They easily beat a bad football team. So all I know about the Jets so far is that they're not bad. I think they still have a chance. I think they can be good. I just know they're not a bad football team. I still view them as kind of in the middle of the pack in the AFC. You have 16 teams. 7 of those teams are going to make the playoffs. I think they're a team that's fighting for a wild card spot. I don't think they're a divisional champion good. I don't think they're like 5-12 bad. I think they're somewhere in the middle. I think they're going to be fighting for the 6th or 7th spot in the AFC.
I think when you look at them too, the lucky thing for them is, even if Rodgers played a little bit in the preseason, I don't think that's nearly enough for the timing that normally happens every year when he comes into camp and doesn't play much. And especially with a new team and teammates that he really didn't play with last year. You've got too much talent with Breece Hall and with Wilson and some of the guys that they have. The line is better. I think that it's a blessing that they're going to play their divisional games now as they get deeper into the season when they're starting to figure things out. And on the flip side, when you got Sauce Gardner and you got some of the game changers on the defensive side of the football for them, I think they're going to continue to improve and get better. And I'm going to be really curious to see how they play against, because now with the Dolphins, I think that takes a team that I thought was a possible playoff team and bumps them a notch down. That helps the Jets. those Jets-Bills games are going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like the Bills are just on a different tier than the Jets.
Right now they look like it. I'm not going to deny that.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe the one in New York or New Jersey, maybe that will look tight. I have a tough time seeing the Jets beating Buffalo right now. Toto Arlington, he looked old, he being Rodgers. He looked old week one, not so much this week. He does look a little bit more...
seasoned?
Static, maybe. Like, he's just maybe more stoic, perhaps. I don't think he's as nimble as he was, which probably shouldn't be. He's a 40-year-old that's coming off an Achilles surgery. He did get tested on that a couple of times. Like, he got hit. There was the time he was falling out of bounds with the guy, like, landed on his Achilles. I think he's healthy. I do think he lost a bit of athleticism, though.
Yeah, and I think that, like you said, it's natural for a guy his age. The one thing that he has got going for him is if you give him time in the pocket, and even when you don't, because he made some pretty decent decisions to move around in the pocket when it started to collapse. Still made some throws. His arm is still top notch. When he's got to make a throw, he can make it, and that's what's scary. I think, to your point, the curious thing to me is at least you got a quarterback that can play in bad weather. If you play that Bills game in bad weather, he's familiar with that. He's not gonna lose the game for you in weather like that, I don't think.
Yeah, he's played in some weather games. Text line, I learned that running back Braylon Allen's gonna be a good one. I hate for Braylon Allen that he got drafted to a spot to a team that has Breece Hall. Like, he's gonna be blocked.
So he's gotten a lot of attention. I watched him play at Wisconsin. He's got all the talent in the world because with the size he has, he is athletic and he is strong and he's got some quickness. And he was on Twitter last night, and when people were saying, how does Braylon Allen slide to the fourth round? He goes, it's real easy when I don't run as fast as I'm supposed to in my underwear. So, you know, I saw some of the other comments say exactly what you said, that, you know what, if he was anywhere else in this league, he might be a bigger story. But he's got talent.
I mean, he had 2 touchdowns last week. Like, I think that he jumped on the scene last week. People know who he is. You get a 2 touchdown performance in the NFL, you're gonna catch some attention. And he caught some attention after last week's game. Rocky, you guys don't know anyone personally. Calm down. Rodgers don't respect anyone. Period. Well, how do you know him personally?
Exactly.
Like, you're saying we don't know him personally, but then you're talking like you know him personally. He says screw him anyway. Dude whined when Green Bay drafted Love, yet didn't like Favre because of the same very thing. It's different. Rodgers didn't like the fact that they drafted a quarterback when he felt like they could have used wide receiver help. Jordan Love would tell you how great Rodgers has been to his career, Rocky.
And Rocky, go talk to Adrian and Paulie, because I watch this guy every week throughout his entire Packers career, and all the press conferences and all the other stuff, and you get a pretty good indication of who he is, what he's about. And the one thing that I'm not selling him short on, his football ability from a throwing perspective, it's still there.
All right, 713-780-ESPN. Let's get to Todd Callis, the voice of the Astros on the Shin. Of course, on the call last night, talked to the TV voice of the Stros. When we come back, it is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Double with 2 strikes and 2 outs of the 8.
Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
We bring in the voice of the Astros, Todd Callis. Conversation brought to us by Gulf Coast Chevy, Buick, GMC, and Angleton. Start shopping for your new vehicle at LanceCCars.com. TK, great call. Last night was a fun one. That was a fun game last night.
Yeah, it got a little dicey for a while. They weren't able to get much going offensively, even with all those leadoff runners on. But John Singleton, hey, has come through before, and he came through with a big double last night. That was huge just to get a W against this Angels team that you should beat, but you never know. You got to play the game the right way and continue to pile up the W's when you can.
TK, I'm curious your thoughts on this. We've talked to and we interact with a lot of listeners, but a little concerned about the offense lately. We hear the rumblings. We see social media, but I don't think a lot of people were in tune with the Dylan Cease, but I'm curious your take on if there's any concerns about this offensive production lately.
I mean, it's a little bit, but it's a small sample size, right? You mentioned Cease, and the Padres in general have really good pitching. I thought Yu Darvish looked really good on Monday night, so... yeah, if they go the next three games against the Angels and they're scoring 3 runs or less in those contests, then all of a sudden I think you could be a little concerned. But if they do that against the Seattle pitching staff, then you're not as concerned. But we'll see how it plays out. But yeah, the last 4 games haven't been the best offensive output, 8 runs total in 4 games. But talk to me in 3 days, we'll see where we are.
Yeah, my weekend gets started here pretty soon, so I'm glass half full today, TK. And Kyle Tucker, I thought, was impressive yesterday. I know he didn't get a hit, but had a couple of long plate appearances, especially the one in the first, draws the walk. One of the 0-for-2s was that hard line shot to left field. You think he's getting, I mean, obviously he's getting closer to 100%, but he doesn't seem like he's too far away from 100%, especially when you consider how much he's playing right field lately.
Yeah, I think we're good with Tuck. I don't know when Joe's spot his next off day is scheduled for him, but it might not be for a while because he played three in a row, including travel. Now you're home for a stretch of seven games, including last night. I wouldn't be shocked if Tuck played all but one game in right field in this homestand. And again, I don't know Joe's plan, but I think they want to keep pushing him. His swing's looking better. I think by the time we get to the postseason, Tucker's going to be right where he was at the beginning of the year.
TK, what can you say about the performance, whether we all had reservations about the trade or not, about what Kikuchi has done since he's gotten here and the fact that we were talking about it earlier in the show, when you look at who he was going up in the same company with in terms of, you know, how many consecutive wins to start a career with the Astros, that's pretty elite. And then the fact that he kind of took it to a step above last night, he doesn't have that, you know, blow you away, big unit, Roger Clemens, Verlander feel. But my goodness, has he been good since he's been here?
Yeah, he kind of goes through it and does. It's more stealth. It's not like overbearing and overpowering. He just gets the job done. And next thing you know, he's going to have 200 strikeouts on the season between the Blue Jays and the Astros. So very pleasant surprise. I don't think I was the only one that said at the time, and I think Dana Brown even admitted it, they had to overpay for Kikuchi. They sent three guys out that were probably more than they originally thought they were going to have to spend at the trade deadline to get a guy like Kikuchi. I think if Jack Flaherty had been made available a little more readily, he could have been a candidate to be traded over here. But I'm so happy they ended up with Kikuchi. I didn't know at the time how good he could be in an Astros uniform. Not only has he won, has the team won every one of his nine starts, but he has fit in perfectly in the clubhouse. Like, the guys love him. He is just a perfect fit for this Astros team, and I'm very glad they have him. And you're right, he's already set a franchise mark with the team winning his first nine starts. That had never happened before. Oswalt, the team won their first eight starts when Oswalt was here, and then Verlander the first eight starts, and now there's a new all-time leader in that category, and this thing, Kikuchi's got his name in the Astros record books now.
Being joined by Todd Kalas, voice of the Astros, on the HR&P guest line. You look at lineups day by day, of course, and you have to fill them out. Today, Yordan DHs, Jiner down to the five spot playing first base. The lefty lineup, really, for Joe Espada. How about the mixing and matching the Astros skippers having to do with injuries, production, all of these things? But I think the first-year manager has handled himself well.
Yeah, he has. I mean, he's mixed a lot of lineups. There's no doubt. He's a guy that has shown, Joe Espada has shown, that when a guy gets hot, he's not afraid to move a guy up a spot or two in the lineup, or if a guy's struggling, to move him down a spot or two. So he has tinkered a lot with his lineup. I don't think he has a set lineup, even as he talked about the possibility of what happens in the postseason. I was curious to see when and if John Singleton would play in the series with three lefties going against the Astros in this series as the first three coming out of the rotation for the Angels. And he did start him yesterday. He's not starting him tonight. We'll see what happens tomorrow. I think John is the best of the first baseman they have, the only guy that's a true first baseman on the roster. And, you know, Jiner's still learning over there. And we'll see how Jiner does tonight. But there have been a few plays where Jiner going to his right just hasn't been able to make that play. Not his fault. He's a catcher by trade, and he's learning first base in big league level. So it's going to be interesting to see how he mixes and matches in the postseason against the lefty. But for tonight, with Caratini catching Verlander, you've got Jiner over there first base.
TK, I'm curious, with your illustrious career and all the baseball you've watched, yeah, we all are scoreboard watching at this time of the year as well. Have you ever seen anything like the back-to-back debacles with the Mariners against the Yankees?
That was pretty bad. That was pretty bad. I mean, yeah, you've got to be a little smarter than that if you're Victor Robles and know the situation with Luis Gil struggling in the first inning, two walks and a hit batter and a 3-0 count on Justin Turner. I know he was trying to take advantage of the situation where he thought he could get the 90 feet and steal home, but that just wasn't the right spot. And then Julio Rodriguez just has to be a little more quarter aware there. When you got that fast line at you, obviously you're trying to protect yourself. But then you have to immediately go back to the bag. You can't linger there like he did near Manny at third base. So, fortunately, it paid off for the Astros, those two base running mistakes. Seattle's still in the mix for the wild card, and obviously they're still in the mix for the division with a magic number of five. It'll take them probably sweeping the Astros and a lot of help along the way. But they're still in the mix for the wild card, and they're still a team I would rather not see in the postseason with their starting rotation. So we'll see how it plays out. They lose the tiebreaker to the Twins, and they lose the tiebreaker to the Tigers, and they're two games back. So they would still have to make up three games on both of those teams, but it would still be possible depending on what goes on in Houston and in Arlington this weekend.
Todd Callis on the HR&P guest line. You brought to our attention last week, too, kind of how the pitching rotation is shaping up. It seems like the big three shaping up really well for the Seattle series. And then who knows where you are in the standings with the guards, although it seems unlikely that you could be a top two in the American League and get that bye out of the wild card series. Seems like the pitching shaping up pretty good for a wild card series, is it not?
Yeah, it is. And I was going to ask Joe about this if and when they get to that point where they clinch the division. I don't think I want to put the cart before the horse, but I want to ask them what they're thinking about Rick Fromber and Hunter after they pitch against Seattle. So if Hunter's going to go on Monday and Fromber's going to go on Tuesday and then Kikuchi on Wednesday, that wasn't by accident that they happen to have those three guys lined up for Seattle. They thought that out weeks in advance. And then if they are clinched at that point before they go to Cleveland, Hunter would then be scheduled again to go on Saturday, and Fromber, or it would be scheduled to go on Sunday, and Fromber wouldn't be scheduled to go again if they stay in that six-man rotation. I don't think they would pitch Hunter on that final day, obviously, so he wouldn't be available in the postseason for that first round. So they'll probably skip Hunter. I don't know if they would throw him on the side for a couple of innings in that series against the Guardians, but they would stay in rotation for Seattle, go Hunter, Fromber, Kikuchi, and then you've got Verlander for the first game in Cleveland, and then at that point you would probably go with Spencer Arrighetti and maybe Ronel Blanco the last day. But if they want Blanco or Arrighetti to possibly pitch a game three, then you would hold them back. But I think you're right. I think it shapes up where they don't really have to mess with their rotation too much. I don't think they're going to have to worry about going for the two seed. I think Cleveland's going to have it locked up by then. So I think it's just a matter of staying in rotation, letting the guys pitch out the rest of the season, and have Hunter and Fromber ready to go once the postseason begins.
TK, we know going down the stretch, you talked about it, we've had injuries, and they're getting healthy. Presley doesn't pitch last night. Anything to that, or just trying to give him a little extra? Because the bullpen, really, for as good and as solid as they've been all year, it seems like, you know, the wear and tear has caught up on several guys, Taylor Scott included.
Yeah, I want to see good things from this point forward, because it's been a little sketchy for Taylor Scott lately. And he was the best pitcher in that bullpen for the first 3 months, bar none. I know, you know, you can say Hayter had that consecutive save streak, but Taylor was doing it in every situation. He was coming in mid-innings. He was going multiple innings. He was the opener that one day right at the trade deadline. He saved the bacon of that bullpen for the first 4 months. And unfortunately, it looks like he's wearing some of that youth earlier in the season. So I want to see Taylor Scott finish strong. I would like to see Caleb Orr bounce back after a disastrous outing in San Diego. I'd like to see Caleb Ferguson pitch well here down the stretch, because there's going to be some decisions to be made in those final spots in the bullpen. I don't think it's quite as cut and dried as it's been in past years, where you can say, well, it's kind of down to this final spot between one or two guys. I think there's kind of three or four guys going for those last two or three spots. So all those aforementioned guys have to pitch well down the stretch, but I really want to see Taylor pitch well, because he was such a big part of it in the early part of the season.
Todd, I want to go back to game two at San Diego. A wild game. Jose Altuve takes off his cleat, takes off his sock. Josh Hader's back in San Diego, is getting booed. You had some questionable umpiring. What is the balance for you when you need to bite the tongue, but you're also trying to deliver to the audience what is going on? What's that balance like?
You try not to crush the umpires too much, and I know we got on them. Rightfully so. That was as poorly managed a game behind the plate for Brendan Miller as I've seen maybe in a long time, maybe ever. He just missed too many calls, and not balls and strikes, just the calls on the field, and not, you know, having to go to New York to get that situation settled with Josh Hader stepping off of the runner on third. That was a debacle. I could have been even, we could have been even more critical of what happened in New York, and I think it probably warranted it, but New York can't take 3 to 4 minutes to solve that Josh Hader step-off situation. That's a clear disengagement with a runner on third base. If there was a runner on first base, it would have been an easy call. For whatever reason, they were confused about him being able to disengage before the first batter coming out of the bullpen. So that needed to be shored up quickly. I don't know what Tony Randazzo was looking at for that hit-by-pitch, no hit-by-pitch by Jurickson Profar. Even he said post-game, everybody in the stadium saw it on the screen. They didn't get hit by a pitch. I'm not sure how New York didn't see clear and convincing evidence of that. It was a poorly officiated game. It was a poorly umpired game, and they didn't get any help from New York in that series. So, yeah, to go back to your question, you try and bite your tongue to an extent, but you also can't ignore it when it's that egregiously bad.
Yeah, I thought y'all handled it perfectly. Just
yeah,
curious,
you guys were great.
Point. Appreciate it, Todd. Have a good weekend. Have a great call. We'll be watching.
All right, guys. Hopefully this time next week we'll be talking about getting ready for the postseason. Five to go, and hopefully they'll be there within the week.
Yeah, that'd be a fun conversation to have. Todd Callis, brought to us by Gulf Coast Chevy, Buick, GMC, and Angleton. Start shopping for your new vehicle at LanceZCars.com. Time now for Who Said It. Brian's going to read us quotes that were said by ESPN 97.5 personalities. And then we guess who said it. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
It's now time for super producer Brian McDonald, a.k.a. Tremac.
I'm Groot.
To do his best to stump Joel and Jeremy.
Well, I'm stumped.
It's everyone's favorite segment.
Because everyone loves it.
Yeah, everyone loves it.
I know.
Right, exactly.
Yes.
Who said it?
He said it.
With the Killer Bees.
Who said it with the Bees? B-Mac, Tremac tries to cut us down. We try to cut him down. We've struggled lately.
I believe 1-4 in back-to-back weeks.
Oh, for September, I think.
No. Oh, no, we won 2 weeks ago.
Did we?
Yeah, we was 2 weeks ago we won.
Well, you've lost 2 games in a row, 1-4.
Okay, Brian.
So I don't think the math checks out for you to have a win in September.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Yeah.
We're 0 for September.
Last win was in August.
Let's see if we can turn it around today.
All right. You ready for quote number one?
I think.
Okay, I like the enthusiasm. Here we go. I like blown saves better than saves anyway. They're more fun because you have a chance to come back and win and be like, what an unbelievable comeback.
What?
Sounds kind of Paul-esque.
I don't know, because a blown save means that the game lasts longer, and Paul doesn't want more baseball.
He doesn't. He admitted today that he only cares about the NFL and the NBA.
There you go.
You need a further confirmation?
Hey, easy. No, we don't need your help in here, because you'll mislead the all.
I wasn't trying to help you at all.
Yeah, no, exactly.
I don't think it pertained to the question. I don't think Joe would say that. This sounds to me like Lance.
One more time, Brian.
I like blown saves better than saves anyway. They're more fun because you have a chance to come back and win and be like, what an unbelievable comeback.
I kind of hear Dell.
I don't know. Dell also doesn't really love baseball.
But
I don't know if Dell wants more baseball.
He leads his show with baseball.
Yeah, but does he like a blown save more than a save, though?
He doesn't like anything.
This to me sounds like a Lance quote. Like a Lance take.
How strong you feel about it?
Pretty strong.
Then I'll...
I mean, I feel stronger about Lance. I don't feel strong about any of my guesses in this game, but I feel stronger than Lance over anybody else saying this. Could Joe say it? Maybe.
Joe's a baseball guy, though.
Yeah, but Joe has weird takes.
I don't deny that either.
So I think it's between Joe and Lance.
If you feel that strongly, we can
I want to go Lance. I want to go Lance here. Yeah, Lance.
I like
Boom.
Call.
Good start.
Good call. Good call.
It's just a Lance take to me.
Yeah, I was hoping you would go Paul there, but you're right. He doesn't want more baseball.
No, he doesn't want more baseball.
Yeah, that was a good
And Lance kid. Has some wonky takes from
time
to time.
Way to try to mislead us, too, Brian. Jump right in there and go, yeah, okay.
It just felt like a Lance.
I was never trying to mislead you. I don't know what you're talking about. All right, quote number two. Yeah, but see, I see Bryce as a kid with a sweatshirt and a backpack. He needs to be at a skater park. Bryce Young, this is.
It's a great take. It's a good
Dell
one.
Or the G's?
I was thinking Dell immediately.
Yeah.
Thing in Dell, but the C thing kind of throws me off. Like, Dell's not going to say C that many times, I don't think.
I think he could.
Can you read it one more time?
Yeah, but see, I see Bryce as a kid with a sweatshirt and a backpack. He needs to be at a skater park.
See, that's not a very fluid sentence. Dell's usually way more fluid with his sentence structure.
Who you think? I think it's Dell.
I think it's either John or Joe.
Wow. That you turn the corner, you change in a hurry then.
See. Thinking more Joe than John, though. It could also be Lance. You could go back-to-back Lance. Brian loves that move.
Yeah, he does.
Can you say it again?
Yeah, but see, I see Bryce as a kid with a sweatshirt and a backpack. He needs to be at a skater park.
I don't know. I'm all over the place on this one.
You called the first one right. You want to?
Not really. I don't feel very good about this one. You want to go? How strongly do you feel about Dell?
I hear Dell in the way he said it.
You feel stronger about Dell than I feel stronger about any of my options then.
Yeah, but see, I see Bryce as a guy with a sweatshirt and a backpack. He needs to be in a skater park.
Dell's usually a lot smoother. I shouldn't say this stuff because Brian holds it against us. But
I think the clue was skater park. Because only an old person says skater park instead of skate park.
Oh.
Good call. That was a good call.
Yeah, I was hoping you wouldn't pick up on that. All right, quote number three. I didn't realize it until I was reading. It's like, oh, crap, he says skater park. That's an old man thing.
Ah, yeah, that would have been a giveaway.
Yeah, all right, quote number three. He did something that's unforgivable. He did something that's unforgivable. It should have been made him have more red flags for every single NFL team. He said that The Great Gatsby with Tobey Maguire is his favorite movie ever. And Leonardo DiCaprio, that's one of the worst piles of garbage I've ever seen. And to me, that's... I would have taken him off my draft board. This is a reference to Kyler Murray.
Paulie?
It's either Paul or Joe.
Yeah, I hear Paul in that, but I was wrong, so I'll let you differentiate.
Say it again. We narrowed it down to Paul or Joe. Let's listen it again closely.
He did something that's unforgivable. It should have made him have more red flags for every single NFL team. He said that The Great Gatsby with Tobey Maguire is his favorite movie ever, and Leonardo DiCaprio, that's one of the worst piles of garbage I've ever seen. And to me, that's... I would have taken him off my draft board.
I could see Dell saying this too, but then the sentence at the end to take him completely off the draft boards where I think we can cross Dell off, and it's long-winded, which usually doesn't bode well for Joe. So I could live with guessing Paul and being wrong.
Yeah, I hear Paul, and I know that he does pay attention to movies and such.
I think there's a wild card Dell, though. The last sentence, though, I don't think Dell would say to completely cross him off the draft board because he's not super hyperbolic. Whereas Paul is. So it's Joe. I'm cool with Paul.
Paul.
He did something that's unforgivable that should have made him have red flags for every single NFL team. Right. He said that The Great Gatsby.
All right. Up 2-1. Quote.
I never saw that.
He really sounded very serious, too.
I think he was.
Yeah, I think he was dead serious.
Wow.
But no, I've never seen that movie either. The reviews were terrible. All right. Quote number four. All the programs you think about having a chance at a national title, their quarterback is, as the kids would say, is a problem. Riley Leonard ain't a problem for anyone but Notre Dame. That's why they're turkey. Dependable, hardy, never going to be anything special, even if you deep fry that thing. At the end of the day, it's still turkey. That's what Notre Dame is.
The turkey reference is a weird one.
See, I know Dell and Joe talk a lot of college football. Paulie pays attention. John bets on it.
See, I was gonna go Dell with this, but the turkey reference makes me want to say Lance. And he knows dry meat.
Yes, he does. And I think that the Notre Dame reference Brian could use to mislead. Notre Dame, you think Joe.
Yeah.
And he knows.
All right, like, say it one more time, please. Sorry. Is three?
Yeah, this is quote number four.
Oh, four. Good. Yeah, we're 2-1.
Yeah, you're 2-1.
One at a time.
All the programs you think about having a chance at a national title, their quarterback is, as the kids would say, is a problem. Riley Leonard ain't a problem for anyone but Notre Dame. That's why they're turkey. Dependable, hardy, never going to be anything special, even if you deep fry that thing. At the end of the day, it's still turkey. That's what Notre Dame is.
I think it's Lance.
I think it is, too.
All right, let's do it. Lance Erline.
All the programs you think about having a chance at a national title, they're quarterbacks.
Well, you've been on the set for most of the day.
It's a problem. Riley Leonard ain't a problem.
Here we go with the scenario again.
He went turkey. I can't believe Dell used it. I'm a little disappointed in Dell for going with a turkey reference.
So what? Why did you think Dell wouldn't pull out a turkey reference?
I thought he was cooler than that.
Okay. All right. Well, you say the turkey's bad, though. I think that's... Isn't that agree with your mindset?
No, it's not so much about the actual taste or how you feel about the turkey. It's about using it in a sports take.
Okay. All right.
It's kind of corny.
All right. All right. Quote number 5-2-2. Here we go. Here's the thing. Oh, this is about Arch Manning, by the way. Here's the thing. We can all admit why, okay? We see it. We see Arch Manning run. It's the color of his skin. Like, I don't believe it. I'm just being honest. Talking about that long breakaway run he had in his last game.
Every bit of that to me sounded like Jim.
I was thinking more Granato.
The sounded like Jim.
Yeah, but could it be like, huh?
This is what we're down to.
Yeah, say again, please.
I love that this is what the game is coming down to. Here's the thing. We can all admit why, okay? We see it. We see Arch Manning run. It's the color of his skin. Like, I don't believe it. I'm just being honest.
So of the two, there's no question Granato is going there first.
I think it's John. Like the cadence kind of makes me think Granato, too.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, you've been hot today, so I'll roll with
what
you think.
I mean, I got one right.
Like, but you were on the scent of the other ones that you weren't, so you've been hotter than me. So if you want to roll with Granato, I'll do it.
For the sake of time, let's go Granato.
The Lamar Jackson?
We can all admit one.
Ah, dang, my bad. Okay.
Who was it?
Joe!
Oh!
I'm just being honest. Man.
Close, but no cigar.
Got me.
All right, so old for September.
September's not our month. Not our month.
We're like Spencer Arrighetti. We were lights out in August. September, not so much.
I mean, Arrighetti's been good except for one star.
Oh, don't stick up for him. I was just kidding.
All right, let's get to DJ Bienema. Covers the Houston Texans for ESPN, ESPN.com. Discuss the previous Texans win and then who they got on Sunday against the Vikings. DJ Bienema joins us next. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.